the advantages of a church fast. First of all, what is a corporate fast? A corporate fast is when a leader declares a fast for the corporate body, and the members of the body commit to carrying the fast out. Second Chronicles chapter 20 is a biblical account of a corporate fast. This study is designed to share the advantages of a corporate fast, and we're going to get into that. Because that's what we're on. We're on a fast. And when you have a corporate fast, everybody benefits from that corporate fast. You benefit individually if you continue to walk in what it is that we're doing. All right? I'm going to just read the whole chapter, and we're going to go through this story, okay? So just bear with me. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, ain't it funny how somebody always come tell you bad news? There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heaven, of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might? So that none is able to withstand thee, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? They reminding God, look here now. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the crow, as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in the house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, you wouldn't let us kill them. You wouldn't let us do this, God. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, behold, I say, how they reward us. They shady, God, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah. And what y'all doing? A Levite of the sons of Asaph came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites, and stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper." I'm just going to give you the breakdown of the verses, because that's what I like to do. If you look at Second Chronicles 21 through 2, and we're going to get into the lesson, you see Jehoshaphat's fight. And then Second Chronicles 20 and 3, you see Jehoshaphat's fear. And also you see Jehoshaphat's fast. And 2 Chronicles 24 through 12, you see Jehoshaphat's focus. And then in 2 Chronicles 20, 13 through 17, you see Jehoshaphat's favor. And then 2 Chronicles 20, 18 through 22, you see Jehoshaphat's faith. And then 2 Chronicles 20, 23 through 30, you see Jehoshaphat's finish. We're going to get into that. And you have your handout. So look at this. Look at this. Number one, 2 Chronicles 24 says, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Corporate prayer. Corporate fasting can lead to prayer. It can lead to prayer. It will lead to prayer. Because you know what? Have you ever started fasting when you really fast and don't eat? Them first 2 days, you hangry, hungry, mad, and you need prayer. It's hard to fast. You need to pray. Why? What you need to do is because now you're taking the umbilical cord that's connected to the world and connected to the spirit. You see what I'm saying? Because your first need from Maslow hierarchy of need is what? Food. You need food. Before you knew how to talk, you knew how to say, because you was hungry. Mama, give me some milk. Mama, give me some food, because you know you need food. It will lead to prayer, because you're going to need to pray to beat your flesh into submission, because you always going to want to eat. You feel me? It's going to lead to prayer, because you're going to need the strength of God to take you to the next level. And it also brings you more intimately with God. Because when you begin to take away your dependency on food, you got to depend on God for your energy. You got to depend on God to keep you from snapping on your coworkers. Because you usually go get a Snicker bar. Come on, somebody. A piece of chicken, and you at least calm down. But it will lead to prayer. Corporate fasting will lead to prayer. You're going to have to pray to stay on the same page. And this time I made us all do the same thing, because I need us all on the same page. I didn't give you all these different choices, but it leads to prayer. We're going to get into this. Number two, 2 Chronicles 20, 15 says, "And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Corporate fasting can lead to prophecy. First of all, can I tell you, do we even know who's talking right now? First of all, have your mama, you remember, come on, can I talk to old school people, because it's 8 o'clock. You know, I used to be, Trustee Johnson know what I'm talking about. You know, it used to be young in a room with grown folk, and then you say something, they'd be like, be quiet while grown folk talking. Anybody had that? Huh? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Good. I can't do this at 11. I'm going to enjoy 8 o'clock. You say, why? Don't be quiet when grown folks talking. This man said, this is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, which means he's a nobody, which means he shouldn't have been talking in the house anyway. So, but now he's prophesying. Why? Because when you're on a corporate fast, you don't know where the voice going to come from, because everybody on the same page, and God want to make sure you know it's him talking to you. Can I tell you something? I hope my brother ain't watching, but can I tell you something? When I was called to preach, you know who told me I was called to preach? My brother Sean. Now, if Neil would have told me, my sister, my mama, they were all real Christians. Sean, crazy. Sean done fought the police. Sean done got in trouble. Sean was just the bad child, the middle child syndrome. I guess Chrissy was all right, even though she was in the middle, because she a girl. Lord, we might not have to stream this. I might go and put my family business out there. But look, it's just an example, Sean, just an example. So look, So he'd be crazy, but I knew I was called, but I was running, and God sent him to tell me I was called to preach, and it really got my attention because this dude was crazy. We used to have to go to counseling with Sean. I'm like, how you gonna be so crazy? We gotta go to counseling with you. When he was young. You know what I'm saying? I told this at 8 o'clock. Sean would be so upset that like the psychologist, even though I was like 14, 13 years old, I said, you kind of young to be a psychologist. Because what he said was when you get angry, he's supposed to give him an axe and go chop wood. You're going to get this crazy boy an axe because he's mad. I wonder if that man still got a license. But so Christy and Neil, and every son had to ask, I made them stay in the house. Now, y'all can't go outside. I don't care what mom and daddy say. They crazy, too. They let him have that axe. Y'all sit over here, and you be quiet, and he let that joker get through chopping that wood. When he put the axe down and come in the house, y'all don't go outside. Right now, y'all need to stay in here and lock the door. Keeping it 100. But God spoke a word through him, and I was on a fast because I was trying to run because I really didn't understand what God was telling me. And can't come to think about it, I was a little older than that. I think I was like 18 because that's when I got God. And he had been talking to my pastor, Pastor McCaleb, because he knew, because he was saying, I know I'm not called, but my brother called. I was supposed to tell him. This crazy boy that's in trouble with the police, but I was on a fast, so God gave me the word he needed to give me, but he made sure he got my attention. This man giving that word in the house got everybody's attention because he never should have been able to speak anyway. So now he done spoke, and the word has gone forth, and he said, look here, be quiet, everybody. Be not dismayed. We're going to be all right. That's a word. God will give you a word out of nowhere. God will give you a word by watching a movie. God will give you a word by a little kid saying something. God will give you a word by listening to the radio every now and then. God will give you a word and you don't even understand where it's coming from when you begin to fast, because now you can hear God clearly. See, y'all don't hear me. Let me get to this, and I'm gonna get to number three, and then I'm gonna kind of work this out. But number one would lead to prayer, because you already know if you're hungry, it's hard not to eat, because your first need of Maslow's hierarchy of need is food. So if you can fast food, not go to fast food, but if you can not eat food, fast from food. Ah, there you go. Some of y'all can go to McDonald's. Pat said go to fast food. No, I didn't. It leads to prayer. And see, a lot of people say, I'm fasting and I want to have a good attitude. I'm fasting the radio. I'm fasting this. I'm fasting that. I'm fasting this. And it's not food. And I understand that we even have on ours that we want to fast and we want to stay away from negativity. But the thing you need to learn how to give up is food. When you sit up there and say, I don't want to do this and I'm doing this because I don't want to. No, when you got to beat your flesh into submission. If you can keep away from food, you can keep away from anything. That's why he said don't eat, because if you don't eat, you can do anything else. It's your first need, and you're denying your flesh. And when you deny your flesh and beat it into submission, then your spirit is able to subdue it. Because truth be told, the spirit and the flesh will never get along, ever. The spirit don't like the flesh, and the flesh don't like the spirit, and your soul, your mind, your reasoning, yourself, you stuck in the middle. And you trying to figure out who you're going to submit to, your flesh or your spirit. But when you stop feeding your flesh for a moment and begin to get with God and fast and get with him in your secret place, you begin to pray and you begin to prophesy. Because now you can hear. See, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Have you ever been eating? Have you ever been eating and you watching TV, or you eat some Rice Krispies, or you eat some popcorn, something loud that be in your mind, hoping you're chewing with your mouth closed. But you got to turn the TV up, because the inside of your mind is loud because of what you're chewing. And you got to turn the volume up to hear the radio clearer, or turn the volume up. Why? You can't hear because you're chewing. You can't hear God sometime because you're busy chewing and eating and you're not paying attention to him. Sometimes you just put that chicken down and be still. Some of us are greedy. We pray while we eating. Lord, bless this food. Lord, have mercy. Bless this food. I'm sorry. I ain't even pray. But look at 2 Chronicles 20:17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Amen. Corporate fasting can lead to promises. Why? Because you can finally hear them. You can finally hear them. Have you ever driven your car and you listen to the satellite radio, then you get to the tunnel and you can't hear it no more? Because it's blocking it. Sometimes you're blocking it because you got to learn how to beat your flesh into submission. We're doing a corporate fast because we want to hear what God is telling us to do. Because one can set 1,000 in flight, two can set 10,000. We got 1,500 folk. Everybody don't come in here. We see about 500 or 600. But if that 500 or 600 folk can get together and get in a corporate fast together and watch God move, if one person can fast and God can bring a crazy child to tell you that you called the priest, what if all of you all are on the same page? How much power is moving through this building? How much power is moving when you can really unhook your umbilical cord from the world and hook it to God? How much power and revelation is in this room? Daniel, I'm still sitting down. Wood. He was trying to make me get up. Y'all see he's shady. Anyway. Number four, and I'm getting there because I believe God just has a more word even toward the end. 2 Chronicles 20:19 says, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Look, corporate fasting can lead to praise. Look, they just were scared. They just were saying, look, the people we spared, they done got together with two other folk, and they're trying to kill us, God. And now they thought they was going to die, and now they praise God. But do you realize where they praise God? They praise God on the front end before they went to battle, because now they have the promises. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance and the evidence. And once you have faith, it's already there. You just got to manifest it here, because now you already know it's in the third heaven. You just got to get it through the second heaven, through the demonic powers down here on earth. But you know it's already done, because once God promises it to you, you already know your faith is the evidence and the substance. Your faith is as real as this water bottle. The minute you know you got it, it's done. Everybody kept saying we weren't going to be able to get the building. The loan wasn't going the way it was supposed to be. Everybody kept talking about how long it was taking. But I had already started shouting, because I had already been fasting. I had already walked around the building. And when they told me we could only have two, God had already said we could have all three buildings. And I didn't care about the loan. And one time I sent everybody a text message, Miss Bells and all them people. And I said it's going to close on Good Friday. Nobody responded, because it kept being delayed all the time. But I knew, and I had already told the agent, don't write it and stop extending it, but extend it, because God had already told me extend it to the end of March. But he kept writing. I said, you're going to just make them people mad by doing them short extensions, because it's not going to close before then. I didn't know exactly when it was going to close, but then I sent everybody an email, the closing attorney and everybody, and nobody responded to me, because they thought I was crazy, because they thought it wasn't going to close. But at the end of the day, when I was fasting, it made me stand up on my feet and shout and say, I already know it's our building. I don't need the loan to be closed right yet. I don't need to walk in the doors right now, because God has already promised it to me. It shall be given to me. And I praise him. Why? Because he already showed me that it was going to close. I was at a TD Jakes conference. I sent an email to everybody. Fooled you. Did it just for you. I sent an email from a TDJ's conference, and I said it's going to close on the 31st. It's going to close on Good Friday. I don't know what date it was, but I knew it was going to close. It's going to close Friday, and it closed on that day. I told Jonathan to go preach with me over at First Baptist Denby. Thank God, because they got to fight in that time, and I went there. And so Jonathan went to go preach for me, and somebody else went to go preach for my other thing, and I didn't preach it. You know, I ain't want to be on that Kev on stage video. Thank God I wasn't there. Hallelujah. I'm just bringing up old stuff. Just shady. Lord, forgive me. If I had the pulpit, I might have been a little better. But anyway, I had already started shouting because God had already showed me it was done. Some of you all don't have what you want because you don't know how to shout before you get it. Some of y'all want a house but then praise God and thank him before you close. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all want, oh, y'all don't hear me. Now, don't go. I'm about to say this, but I'm going to help. Let me go ahead and say this again. Don't be like Aretha Franklin and go knock on no Negro window. Tell me I'm going to rap on you, I'm going to tap on your window pane. But some of y'all, not married because you need to shout before he sing you to husband. Now, don't go shout in the man's face you think you're supposed to have because he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Stop trying to find him. But what I'm trying to tell you is this: when you learn how to shout and praise God before you get the blessing in the manifest realm, then it shall come to you. Because what? You got to call those things that what? Be not as though they were. And your faith is the evidence. Soon as God gives you a vision, that should be your clue that it's already done in the name of Jesus, because faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance. Faith is real. I didn't care what nobody told me. I didn't care how they said we were too small and we couldn't get the loan. I didn't care what they said. Everybody was talking about this, and y'all got to put 30% down, but we only had to put 20%. In fact, I'm doing a church right now, trying to find them a church, and they trying to make the people put 30% down. I'm trying to find a loan officer that did ours, because I'm like, I know you can get something a little lower than that. But what I'm saying is, when you have faith, it's already done. Can I talk to some faith people right now? What you thinking about that God has already promised you? Joseph became second in charge even when he went to jail. Come on, somebody. It didn't matter. God, even though Jesus went to Gethsemane and went on the cross, he was raised from the dead. You got to learn how to praise God even when the situation doesn't look the way you want it to look. You got to stop letting the devil put these props in front of you to make the world, because world comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means that the order or the arrangement of things. It means the props. So you go to Hollywood and they got these props, and even though it look like a house you can't live in, sometimes the devil just make it look like you sick. You ain't sick. Sometimes you got to begin to speak those things that be not as though they were, and stop letting the devil attack your mind and your body and your family. Why? Because God, which is above all things, that you be prosperous and in good health. Stop letting the devil steal your joy. And start praising God in the midst of your pain. Y'all better watch out. Number three, we talked about the promises. Number four is praise. Number one, we talked about prayer. Number two, prophecy. Number three, promises. Number four, praise. Look at this here. This is going to be a good one. And we're going, this is what we need to know. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper." Look, corporate fasting can lead to prosperity. But let me read a little further. Let me read 21 through 25 in 2 Chronicles 20. So it can lead to prosperity, but let me read the rest of the story. It said, "And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." So they went and praised God. They ain't even go fight. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, choir. Thank all of y'all for stepping up your game when it comes to singing, because it's so easy to preach. 2 years ago, I couldn't bring no table out here and sit down. I knew I had to stand up and fight. But when you set the atmosphere, they didn't even go get swords. You got to stop trying to fight the way you want to fight. Sometimes you got to learn how to get in your prayer closet and pray in your secret place. Because you know what prayer is? Prayer is a nuclear weapon. You know, we don't go to war. They send drones out. You know, a prayer is a drone that you're sending out to go kill the enemy without you even having to get out your house. The same way America can hit a button and blow up another country. Lord forbid, hope not it don't happen. You can go into your prayer closet and send a nuclear holocaust, come on somebody, out to your enemy. You got to learn how to sit in there and learn how to praise God and dispatch the angel. Do you know God said he could have called legion of angels on the cross for him? You know a legion of angels is about 12,000 angels, but all that you need is one angel at your midst, and when you pray, God will begin to send angels at your beck and call, but you don't know how to praise him. Do you know the angel said, what is man that you're mindful of them? You made everything to be subject under their feet, yet they don't walk in the power you gave them. Why? Because they don't praise you enough. They don't believe you enough. They have free will and power to dispatch us, but they don't know how to get in their prayer closet and call on the power of God. Stop trying to fight your own battles and let God handle it and get in your prayer closet and learn how to praise him. But you don't know how to praise him because you don't fast enough. God, let me stop. Verse 22 says, and when he began to sing, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen all on the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. 3 days. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. But can I tell you something? They wanted God to destroy their enemies. At first, they only had one enemy. Remember, the prerequisite for your blessing is what? The presence of your enemies. God prepared the table for you, and who? The presence of your enemy. They only had one enemy. Maybe God didn't think they had enough enemies. Come on, somebody. So he went and let two more enemies come together and get together. So what was God doing? You thought God was letting your enemies come to destroy you. No, God is laying up the wealth that they have. They destroyed each other, and they came down there. Not only did they take their original enemy that they spared because God told them to spare them. Stop getting mad when you spare your enemy and don't tear them down and they come at you. God is just... Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They had one enemy. And then they went and got some friends to come against them after they spared them. And they said, God, I thought you had us. And God was just sitting up there laughing because now they let them destroy each other. I remember when I used to preach Reverend Ricks, and sometimes I wouldn't even know what was going on. I ain't know nobody. And people come to me and tell me, why you preaching about that? I didn't even do that. So-and-so did it. They be telling on themselves because God was letting them destroy each other. I had just got here. Didn't even know your first or last name. Didn't even know everybody had to go bowling with Deacon Spells and Mrs. Spells and other folk to learn people's names and Brother Stamps and everybody. And in the bowling alley trying to learn names, I didn't even know what in the world God was telling me. But he was allowing the enemies to destroy them. Themselves. Come on, somebody. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. But they killed each other. Now, I know this sounds rude, but they went and took their jewelry after they were dead. Sometimes God just stacking your enemies up. It sounds cruel. See, that's the problem, because y'all keep going around talking about this foolishness God ain't never said. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Where that said in the Bible? I ain't never seen it. Help me find it, somebody. Everybody think God good all the time. How y'all doing? Everybody think God good all the time. God ain't good all the time. Mess with me and see what happens. Huh? Mess with one of God's anointed and see what happens. Come on, somebody. Let your enemy keep messing with you and you really understand that the salvation of the Lord is on your side, and see if God is good. God ain't good all the time when people come against him. He let all them kill each other. They were dead, and God said, go take the stuff off their dead bodies. Ain't that just cruel? See, some of y'all keep trying to get your enemies, but God is the most creative vengeance God that I've ever seen in my life. You trying to take off your earrings and put on Vaseline and take your heels off and loosen up your tie and get all this stuff together. You trying to pop your neck and roll your eyes at your enemy, and God that's up here and stacked up three whole nations, killed everybody, and told them to go get the spoil. Stop trying to fight your battles on your own and be still and watch the salvation of the Lord. You ain't got to respond to everybody all the time. Get in your prayer closet. All these people telling me happy birthday, they don't even know I know some of them shady. But I'd still take your Cash App blessing. Tell me happy birthday. You shady. I'm about to go burn it back. You shady. Anyway, let me get out of here. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2, 3, 12, and 13, NIV. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 10, verse 2, 3, 12, and 13. It says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions. I'm going to use lotion. Thank you, Sister Kim, because I was looking like Michael Jackson. I got to get the corners and stuff. I do smell sweet. But anyway, I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So he's fasting and ashy. That's commitment. Now, I didn't tell you to go to work ashy. If you want to be that Daniel, I'm like, yeah. So I wonder if the Daniel fast, you're supposed to fast lotion too, huh? Mm-hmm. Anyway, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So look, he said, Daniel, the first time you prayed, I know you prayed for 21 days, and I'm finally making it here. That's why we get the 21 days of fasting from, but we're doing 40, all right? So we're going to make sure you make it, all right? So he fasted 21 days, and he prayed, and he said, the first time you prayed, I was dispatched, but I was caught by the prince of Persia. Why? Because you keep thinking the devil in hell. No, there's three heavens. There's the third heaven where God is, and the second heaven is where the principalities from high places are. That's why your weapons are not carnal, but a spiritual, for the casting down the stronghold and vain imagination and anything that casts or exalted itself against the armies of the living God. That's why you have spiritual power, because you fighting spiritual demons from high places. Hell is reserved for Satan, but he ain't there yet. And when you begin to fast and beat your flesh into submission, you begin to connect to your spirit, because you are not more powerful than Satan, but the Holy Spirit is. And so is your spirit, but you keep fighting him in the natural with your earring taking off self, with your tie loosening up self, with your tongue talking, not talking in the spirit, self. You'll get it. You feel me? He said, I came to you in the beginning, but I was held up. See, some of us pray for one moment and think we're supposed to get blessed. Not even a whole day. Oh, God ain't blessed me yet. I prayed for that 5 hours ago, and I still ain't got the job. You got to be consistent and understand that you have promises that God has laid up for you, but the devil is trying to attack you. And Daniel went to pray, and the angel was already dispatched, but he was caught up. But because of Daniel's consistency, God began to send another angel to help the angel out that was supposed to come to get him. That's why fasting is good. It disciplines you. You don't hear what I'm saying. If you can fast and do your job and all that without eating, it's easier to do. When you lift weights, you can do other things easier than you used to, because you had more resistance Yeah, I don't hear what I'm saying. Look, he went to come get him, but he said, because you fasted. Watch these corporate fasts, though. Jonah 3:7 says, this is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king of his and nobles, do not let the people or animals, herds, flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat. These jokers said, don't let the roaches eat. Eat if you want to. I'm going to stomp you in the ground. They didn't let the cows eat. They made everybody fast, and these were heathens. The reason why Jonah didn't want to go there is because he knew that they were his enemies, and he knew when he preached and if they really did what they were supposed to do, God was going to save them, and he didn't want them to be spared. If God would save some heathen folk because they changed their heart and get in the right standing with him, how much more would he take care of you? Jonah 3:7, but look at Jonah 3:10. When God saw that they did how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them to destruction he had threatened. See, can I tell you something? Some of y'all got to understand that you're going through hell right now to get a testimony and to build up your credibility. Can I tell you why Jonah was so received by the people of Nineveh? Do you know the people of Nineveh worship fish? So Jonah was swallowed up by a big fish, was in hell, that was Sheol is, was in hell for 3 days, a precursor to how Jesus was going to go to hell for 3 days. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and it prayed to God, and it spit him out. David was going to hell, but the people of Nineveh thought he had an Uber ride. The fish brought Jonah here. And can you imagine how he smelled? It said it was a 3-day journey. He got there in 1 day. Not in a car. He ran. Already got fish guts on him. So he done got to Nineveh smelling like a dead fish. And they said, this must be a god. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. God let him smell like the people he was going to serve. Somebody saw him pull up in the fish. And they were like, oh my God, he must be a god. But he told them the true God. But he had favor because his life, he had been through the same mess that they had been through. Can I talk to some of y'all right now who going through being broke and going through being homeless and going through being alcoholics? God is about to deliver you, and you're about to help other people get delivered because people will smell that stuff on you. You know why Moses was able to go into Egypt and walk in and say, let my people go and go back home? It's because he grew up in the same palace they did. He smelled like Egypt. So they didn't want to shoot him. They didn't steal his car. They didn't take his ring because he smelled like the hood. Some of y'all, when y'all come out the hood, you're going to be able to go back and witness in the hood because you will still have some of the remnants of that on you. And oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Jonah smelled like the people of Nineveh, so they received him. Your test is your testimony. Your misery will become your ministry. Stop despising your small beginnings. And when you begin to fast and pray, God will show you why you're going through it. Every time I had a battle, I knew God was preparing me to deal with hell that I had to deal with when I became a pastor. I didn't know it was going to come from the inside sometimes. I thought it was going to be haters on the outside. But I knew he was preparing me for the place he wanted to take me to. Why? Because I always had a relationship with him. Even when I was a teenager, I would fast and I would pray. I would fast every now and then and get on my knees and see what God wanted me to do. Even when I acted a fool at Georgia Southern and acted a fool there, every now and then I still get on my knees and pray and fast, because truth be told, once God is on you, he never gonna let you go. You're gonna keep on smelling like him. Every now and then he'll let you go through Egypt and smell a little bit like Egypt, so you can go in somebody else's Egypt and bring them out. Moses couldn't have brought them out of Egypt if he had never been a part of Egypt. You can't bring nobody out of alcoholism if you ain't never been an alcoholic. You can't bring nobody out of the whole house if you ain't never worked at yourself. You can't bring nobody out of prostitution if you ain't been there before. Can I tell you something? I'm not saying do any of these things, but what I am saying is what you're going through right now, I need you to fast and pray and let God make your misery your ministry. The only way you can break it is to beat your flesh into submission and learn how to fast and deny yourself. I'm going to sit back down. He smelled like them. Esther, in chapter 4, verse 16, she began to tell, she told Mordecai, she said, go ahead, I must have been called for a time such as this. Is that what he told her? And she fasted and said, y'all better fast with me. And she said, if I die, I die. It's something about when you fasten and you getting in God's presence, you like, if it don't work, at least I'm doing what God told me to do. Come on, somebody. She said, if I die, I die. But she made everybody fast with her because she knew that she couldn't go nowhere by herself. I got y'all fasting with me because the realm that God wants to take us to, I watched Fallen last night because I said in the sermon and somebody let me know that it was on and I said I need to watch it. I watched Fallen and I began to see all the demonic powers and doing that, and I remember when I was a little child I could see that and I got scared of it because I ain't watch shows like Fallen. I watched for a minute or Constantine. Or even Ghost, because if Ghost, I know y'all saw, because Whoopi Goldberg was in it, was funny, but them demons look like demons look. They had that stuff down. And I wouldn't watch certain things because I didn't like walking in that power, because I didn't like seeing certain things. Just like Denzel Washington was being attacked in that movie by that demon because he could see it, he wanted to destroy it. Some of y'all can see demons. Some of y'all can see stuff in the spiritual realm, and you don't want to walk in it because you don't want to be by yourself. But right now, I'm fasting and I'm praying because God is about to raise some folk up that can help hold my arms up, because when we start walking in the spiritual realm, I can't do it by myself. Denzel tried to do it by himself, and he didn't call nobody in to help him because he thought he could do it on his own. But can I tell you, one can set 1,000 flight, two can set 10,000. I need y'all to fast with me. If you ain't been fasting, if you been messing up, I don't need you to mess up no more from this day forward. I need you to fast because it's going to lead to your prosperity. And when you prosper, New Beach Grove going to be prosperous. It's going to lead to your deliverance. And when you get delivered, New Beach Grove going to be delivered. Why? Because individuality coming together corporately begins to bless everybody. Follow me as I follow Christ and stick to this fast and watch. God delivered Nineveh, a heathen nation, in one day for fasting. Hadn't been to church, didn't go to Sunday school, didn't have a suit and tie. Straight heathens. But God delivered them in one day because they agreed to fast. Esther, whole nation was saved. Haman was trying to use Esther's background to kill her because Mordecai didn't know she was a Jew and he ain't like the Jews. But then at the end of the day, the same gallows Haman made for Mordecai was the same gallows he was hung on. Why? Because they fasted corporately. And the same reason that Haman was trying to tell Xerxes that she was a Jew to kill her, now that brought favor to all the Jews. The reason why people are trying to kill you is the same thing God giving you favor in. Do you know the devil wanted Joseph in jail, but God wanted Joseph in jail too? You missed that. I'm gonna get this and I'm gonna sit down. See, Joseph went to jail because Satan wanted to keep him bound up. And he wanted to keep him trapped because he knew he was called. But God wanted him in jail too because he needed to hone in on his gifts. Joseph went in jail. Before he went in jail, he could dream dreams. When he came out of jail, he could interpret dreams. You grow in your hard times, but you got to learn how to shout in the midst of them. See, when you begin to learn how to fast and pray, God begins to show you why you're going through stuff. See, the people of Israel saw the miracles that God did, but Moses knew why he did them. When you begin to fast and pray and get in God's presence, he begins to tell you why he's doing it. You begin to see things before they happen. I see shady folk a mile away. I know you coming before you get there. I do, because I fast and pray. I don't do it as much as I should, because we all could do better. That's why I call people like Reverend Drone, Sister Jennifer. I know they pray more than me. Hey, pray for me. Well, we want to pray for everything. I do pray, but I know some people may pray more than me. But when you begin to pray and fast and get in the presence of God, God begins to show you stuff before it happens. They started shouting in the text before they even went to battle. They said, don't even go with no weapons. Go with your flute. Go with your saxophone. Go with your drums. Aren't you someone that was like, Miss Barbara, what in the, God will tell you how to fight when you get in your prayer closet. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you your enemies. The enemies began to destroy each other. They were so confused. I'm gonna sit down and I'm done. I need y'all to get in your heart that you're gonna get on in line. If we ain't started before, because I didn't teach this, because I need to get set order in the house, so I take some responsibility, because I was gonna teach on fasting when I first got back, but when I was on the mountain, God was showing me some stuff, so really it ain't my fault. I just had to clean house and begin to set order, because there's a different way God is moving in New Beach Grove. He's wanting to move more in the spirit. And the reason why I need y'all to fast is because I need us to walk more in the spirit. I'm not even preaching no more. I'm just having a conversation with my church right now. Keep the cameras rolling though. But this is what I need you to understand. This, we're going to do something. It's cool, but it's way airy. Maybe it's just me. But don't worry about it right now. But we about to walk in the spirit. And so many pastors die early because they try to carry stuff on their own and they don't put it on the burden of God and yoke themselves with him and try to do it so much in the natural. And a lot of stuff I was doing like that. And leaders, I know I've been sending y'all messages, they've been stern, because I've been here almost 9 years. After a while, I can't blame nobody but me. And so God is holding me accountable, because we need to move more in the spirit, and it's my fault at this point. So when you have certain things to do, you're going to have to step up and do them. I don't need to keep reminding you, because God uses, like, God, you're an extension of me. But the thing about it is, before you do stuff, just always be prayed up, because God is going to have us operate in the spirit, and you can't be fearful of where we're going. One of the reasons I believe Denzel Washington lost, he was really scared. And it caused you not to think. I'm all in this movie, man. I know y'all ain't even seen it, Falling. But you can't be scared. And you can't try to fight alone. You can fight in your prayer closet or whatever, but you need to find some people that you know are on another level that can be in the prayer closet with you. Well, they ain't got to be in the closet, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying. They need to be praying to be in agreement with you, because you got to have power. That's why I'm so big on the prayer team. That's why I'm so big on people. I know y'all want to talk and everything, but we got the little overflow thing. We got the little, we're going to put some chairs out there in the foyer. Well, I don't know, not too many chairs. Y'all, you know, you can, you know, we trying to get it. We know old school, y'all want to fellowship and y'all want to talk, but we want to make sure that in the mornings we come in here and we saturate this with prayer. Why? Because we need people to be delivered before I even stand up. When you bring people here from your job and other places, they should already walk in the door and be ready to be saved because of the anointing that's in this house. Because of the prayer. Do you understand that Saul, before he became Paul, was killing everybody everywhere, but he didn't even get in Damascus? He got knocked off his horse before he even crossed the city limits. Because Damascus was one of the oldest Christian cities ever. And they were so prayed up that the demons in him couldn't get in there. Y'all hear what I'm saying? People should walk through the threshold of this church, and it's so saturated with prayer because of the prayer and fasting we have. You understand? It should already be so saturated. Like Deacon Spell said, with the softball team, we should be so saturated with prayer for softball. When people come, they already ready to get saved. Because everything we do should be saturated in prayer. And right now with us fasting, I believe it's going to lead us to a stronger prayer life. I'm believing people going to be praying. And when we get here, you're already going to be praying. You're going to be not only just praying in the natural, you're going to be praying in the spirit. And God is about to move like a mighty rushing wind in the midst of this house. And people, when they come in here, they'll be healed. They'll be set free. They'll be delivered before I even open my mouth, before the praise singers even sing, before the praise dancers even dance. I'm believing for the ushers to be anointed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm believing for your power and grace right now. In the midst of this fast, in the midst of this corporate fast, that you begin to take us from one level to the next. Lord, I decree and declare, by the end of this fast, by Easter Sunday, there's such an anointing that will be filled in this house. So many people come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Church will almost double in size because of the anointing. Not worried about numbers, but we want people to be saved. We believe that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And we're about to take this city by force in the name of Jesus. We're about to walk in power in the name of Jesus. We're about to walk in agreement in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for your majesty. We thank you that even in the midst of this fast, that you keep me strong and obedient to it. And you keep the people strong and obedient to it. And you allow us to walk in the power of Jesus. Amen.